When the Apostle Paul met the glorified Jesus and believed into Him and was saved, he was transferred out of darkness into light and out of the authority of Satan into the triune God. His ministry in the gospel was to open people's eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to God. When he heard that believers in the city of Colossae had believed into the Lord, he wrote them an epistle. And in chapter 1, verse 13, he tells them, "The Father has delivered us out of the authority of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love." As far as our standing and position as human beings are concerned, we are either in one realm or another. There is no neutrality. There is no compromise. We either are in darkness or we are in light. We are either under the authority of Satan or we are in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. When we believed into Christ and publicly testified of our faith by baptism, that was a declaration. We are no longer in the old creation, in the old man. We have been buried with Christ. We have been resurrected with Christ. We are a new creation in Christ. We are not under Satan's authority. We are under the rule of God in the kingdom of His Son.
Amen.
Our general subject for these four messages is living in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. The first message was devoted to the kingdom of the Son of God's love itself, its nature. And we saw that God delights in His beloved Son. And He delights in the kingdom of His beloved Son as much as He delights in the Son Himself. For the kingdom of the Son of God's love is composed of the many sons of God, Amen. In whom Christ the Son dwells as life. So this is a delightful realm where there is no fear, but we are ruled in love, life, and light. But I'd like to emphasize the fact, even right now, we are in such a kingdom.
Amen.
It is a kingdom. It's a delightful realm. Life is flowing. Light is shining. Love permeates the atmosphere. But it is nevertheless a kingdom. It is the one place on earth directly open to and under the authority of the triune God. And anyone who chooses to live in this kingdom by living in the church life needs to realize you don't live here any way you choose. You don't live here according to your preference. If I were to migrate to the mainland of China, I would need to recognize that I am now living under a different kind of government. If I don't want to live under that kind of government, then I shouldn't go to China. This is a set principle. In our culture, we may be so pickled with the notion of democracy and individualism that we think we can have things on our own terms. But not in the kingdom of God. And actually not in the kingdom of Satan either. Because that freedom is an illusion. So we are in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And the first thing here is doing the will of the Father.
Amen.
Here we delight to do His will. We are one with Him for His will to be done on earth. Then we saw in message 2, the central matter is to experience and enjoy the all-inclusive Christ. To experience Him in our spirit, then to enjoy this experienced Christ in our soul. What a delightful emphasis this is. We're in a realm where Christ is preeminent, where Christ is the center, where Christ is first, where Christ is our life. And there's even no place for you to be second or for you to be last, because Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He's everything. So you cannot even have faux humility and put on the guise of being last. Christ is first. He's last. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's God. He's man. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. He's the Bridegroom. He's the bread. He's the air. He's the light. He's the water. He's everything.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And yes, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And He wants us, little by little, to experience Him, to enjoy Him. This is the center of our living in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Then last night, we considered the Christian life, living the Christian life in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And the emphasis was on the personal side. And the burden was on the fact that in Colossians 1:12, the Father, we're told, the Father has qualified us for an allotted portion of the saints in the light. In the light. So we link this with the following verse, which says, we have been delivered out of the authority of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Light is mentioned in verse 12. The Son is the embodiment and expression of the divine life. And love is there as the inner substance of God and the nature of God's essence. But it is a realm of light. And light rules. In the typology in Genesis 1, when the lights of the fourth day were created, the sun, the moon, the stars, part of their function was to rule. Light rules. In the manifestation of the kingdom, when the Lord is here in glory, the overcomers are mentioned in Matthew 13:43. They're called the righteous. That verse says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The co-kings, the overcomers, will rule by shining as bright as the sun.
Amen.
So we emphasize how light is related to life. Actually, the one whom we received in John 1:12 and 13 is the true light. We received Him by believing into Him. Then we were given authority to become children of God, who were born of God. Now, I take this word concerning light as a transition. Because although this message will not be on light itself, there will be, I believe, because the Word of God is light, a blazing light, at least for some. And light is impartial. And the divine truth is unsparing. Reality is what it is. It doesn't accommodate itself to human preference. Light does not accommodate itself to human self-preservation. When light shines, there's no argument. Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, probably was some kind of genius. And no doubt was a very strong character. If you're that devoted to killing believers, imprisoning them, you're not even content to stay in Jerusalem, you want authority to travel and get others. God did not send a super genius, a super apostle, to defeat him by argument. God did not send someone to debate him and defeat him. In other words, God did not try to deal with him merely by objective truth. But at the time determined by God, he released a light brighter than the sun. And that settled everything. This earth is filled with opinions about God, whether there is one or not, blasphemy of God, all kinds of arguments. But when the Lord appears as the Son of Righteousness, all over the earth, there will be no more atheists, no more agnostics, no more opinions. Everyone will have to reckon with the fact Christ is here. And he's not here alone. He's here with a large number of overcomers who are his reproduction, who are shining like the sun.
Amen.
And now human government has been abolished. The money system has been abolished. The age of the kingdom has begun. And if you are a wise citizen who has been preserved through the tribulation, you will recognize you are entering into a period of blessing. Certain things and certain people and in all of us at certain times can be settled once for all only by a blazing light from God, however it comes. We should not, my dear brothers and sisters, have confidence in ourselves that we're willing to receive any light. To be willing to receive light means you are willing to know your real situation. You are really willing to know that. I had the privilege of meeting a dear brother in Brazil. He's in the recovery with his whole being. But he was once a Roman Catholic bishop. A bishop. How many years were devoted to that? But when the light came, he had to assess Roman Catholicism according to God. He can't say, I've been in the church life all the time, and now I'm just coming into another phase of the church life. He has to realize you were in Babylon. You were under the teaching of Jezebel. You were in darkness. You have been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Now you are in the light. I underwent the same thing in principle. I remember that Thursday evening in the main library in downtown Detroit. When I was considering before the Lord, there's no place for me in the denomination I'm in. Maybe I should make a lateral move to another one. Then some light came and I realized I belong nowhere. They're all the same. They're all the same. And I made the decision, I will leave Christianity entirely and seek what is the perfect will of God. What is it? And my new wife and I married a daring woman willing to join with me to leave New York, where we were temporarily, and drive across country to California because the Lord led us, because we wanted to know the perfect will of God and do it. So there will be light, I believe. That means there will be God shining on matters related to practicing the church life in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And for the benefit of all, but especially for some, I want to note something. Most of you realize this, but I want to make it clear. So the lying spirit has no ground. I am not a hireling. I don't speak for hire. I'm not a politician. I'm not a diplomat. I don't speak to please man. I'm not motivated by the fear of man. When I speak in the ministry, the Lord covered me to say this, I am fearless. I only fear the Lord, to whom I will give an account. I have no choice on what to speak. I'm a slave of God. I must allow Him to rule through the intuition of my spirit and follow the anointing and speak by the Lord's grace whatever the burden is. That is my responsibility. I'm not responsible for how people receive it. That is up to them. Before we come to the outline, once again, three matters, three lines of ministry. And the burden will be on the third. In the kingdom of the Son of God's love, there is no discord and there is no division of any kind. Division, divisiveness, discord, disharmony, sects, denominations are all of Satan, the evil one. And division is an all-inclusive evil. That is why in our history we've noticed when someone becomes divisive, then that can lead to so many negative things because they touch the essence of the evil mentioned in John 17. On the cross, the Lord slew the enmity. He tore down the middle wall of partition. He created in Himself one new man. In His resurrection, the one body came into being. And the kingdom of the Son of God's love with respect to the church life is a realm of oneness. Now God, we know, has physical laws. They're not edicts passed by a legislature. They are governing principles. So the universe and even our physical body functions by laws. Physical laws, organic laws. God also has laws in the spiritual realm. And the laws in the spiritual realm are stricter than the laws in the physical realm. Now, if we are careless with our body and violate laws regarding eating, digestion, rest, breathing, whatever it is, there will be organic damage. Maybe eventually even death unnecessarily early. There are consequences. We are in a kingdom. There is no lawlessness in the kingdom of God. But in this realm, although it's a realm of life, light, and love, there are these governing principles. And they're strict. Not strict in some kind of stiff legal sense, but in an organic sense. And the basic governing principle is oneness. The genuine oneness. The unique oneness. The oneness of the body. The oneness of the spirit. And actually, the oneness of the spirit is the beginning. If we really live in the kingdom of the Son of God's love, under the Lord's rule in love, light, and life, we will advance from the oneness of the Spirit to one accord. Oneness of the Spirit is limited to the Spirit. But whenever we need to do something in a corporate way, we have to use our soul. We have to think. We have feelings. This is human. And it's understandable that we might have different views of something at first. Like in Acts 15, they certainly had different views about the obligations that the Gentiles had to fulfill. But if we take the way of genuine fellowship by walking in the light, we will experience the application of the oneness of the Spirit to every part of our soul. As we fellowship, we share our thought, okay? We share our feeling. Because we're on a journey to one accord. And if we are really open and share our thought and feeling, and then let them go, my dear sisters. Let them go. Detach them from your subjectivity. If we all do this, and we're open to the Spirit, we will all be adjusted. We will all be tempered. We will all be blended. And we will arrive at an inner harmony in which we will think the same thing, feel the same thing, determine the same thing, have one soul, one heart. Amen. This will bring in God's unrestricted blessing. If the church in Phoenix desires God's unlimited, unrestricted blessing, this should be our goal. To keep the oneness of the Spirit and to arrive at one accord through genuine fellowship. This is living the church life, practicing the church life in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. The second line of this opening word concerns relationships in the kingdom. In the old creation, God has ordained certain human relationships. Paul addresses them in Ephesians 5 and 6 and in Colossians 3 and 4, especially marriage. Okay? And the nature of marriage requires a direct relationship between a man and his wife. And in the family, a direct relationship among the members of the family. This is ordained of God in the old creation. But in the kingdom of the Son of God's love, that is, in the organic body of Christ, there are no direct relationships among the members. That is against the law, the organic principle. I have no direct relationship with any co-worker, with any elder, with any brother, with any sister, with any trainee, with any church. In the body, all relationships among the members are through the head. Like if my scalp is a little itchy and the head directs my right arm with the hand and the fingers to scratch it, it's normal for there to be this contact. But if my fingers fall in love with my scalp and just want to be buddy-buddy, then I walk around like this for decades. That's plain weird. The head is saying, enough. Let the arm resume its normal position. But the arm says, no, I love this part of the body. Okay, this is a cancer. This is a disease. Now, here's something a little mysterious. I'm a married man for more than 48 years. And so the marriage relationship is direct. The two become one flesh. But we are both members of the body. I have to recognize that. So we need to live the body life in our married life, as one life. But as members of the body, our relationship is not direct. My wife has direct access to the head. On the human side, and not all men have the courage to live this out, the head of the woman is the man, period. It shouldn't be abused, but that's the principle. But in the body, I'm not the head of this other member. So I respect her contact with the Lord, her prayer to the Lord, her leading from the Lord. Nevertheless, it's in the context of our married life. So the two together are one, making it mysterious. All manner of serious problems have been caused in the churches by improper relationships, especially among sisters. And when sisters go off and have a problem, it's more injurious to the body because the sisters are deeper than brothers. They're more experiential than brothers. They tend to be the internal organs. So if I break my arm, dislocate my knee, that's painful, but probably not life-threatening. But if there's a problem in the circulation of my blood, or in the rhythm of my heart, or in my liver or kidneys, that's serious. So we need to realize we have no special relationship with anyone. We have no special love for anyone. No special loyalty to anyone.
Amen.
We love everyone the same. God is no respecter of persons. The Lord in the building will relate us, connect us to particular members. But that's according to God, that's under the headship of Christ. That is not by human choice. This is a law. So we need to not bring in the soulish affection, loyalty, preference, It is not allowed in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. No one should feel inferior. No class of people, no race, no nationality, no language group. There shouldn't be anything in the atmosphere to cause anyone to feel second rate. There's no such thing. I remember being in a training meeting for Spanish-speaking brothers. Brother Walter Ortiz was translating for me. And I was burdened on this point to encourage the hearts of the Spanish-speaking brothers, knowing what this culture has done to many of them. I said, you're not second rate. You're not inferior. There is no such thing. Amen. And I was pouring out my heart. And the brother translating, Walter, he's weeping. The brothers are weeping. The Lord is calling out to us. We're one new man. Amen. We're one body. Amen. We're all on the same level. Amen. What a wonderful realm to be in. No bias. No prejudice. No discrimination. No preference. What a realm! Amen. You can bring in people from every tribe, tongue, and nation and put them together, and we're in this realm. And we're an anti-testimony to the whole world. Amen. With its enmity and division. Amen. Now we come to the third matter. And we thank the Lord for His covering, for the full armor of God, and for His protection. The Lord, as the shepherd of the sheep, loves to find the lost sheep and to bring them back to the flock. So there would be one flock and one shepherd. So in the case of my wife and myself, the two of us came. Two lost sheep, we came in. And many of us were shepherded into the Lord's recovery in this way. But in our history, the Lord has not infrequently brought in an entire group. Even what formerly was a so-called church with a pastor. There's no reason the Lord wouldn't do this and cannot do this. But when that happens, both on the side of the receiving church and on the side of the entering saints, there needs to be a realization. You are now entering the church life as the practical body life in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. You need to lose your group identity absolutely. And if your former leader, the pastor, whomever, if he's enlightened, and he's truly consecrated, he will make it clear, I'm no longer your leader. I'm here as a brother. I'm going to learn to be a brother. I'm going to get a real job. You don't have to hire me and pay me any longer. And whatever relationships there were among you, they have to all be adjusted. You cannot come in as a unit and continue to exist as a unit in this realm. That is a cancer. If you insist on maintaining loyalty to your leader, an identity of what you were, and you constantly refer to your past, the body will expel you. Notice I said the body, not any persons. Our body reacts to foreign things. Our body wants to be well. It wants to have homeostasis, to be balanced. So we need to be clear about this in principle. I told you Friday night, this conference is experiential, and now we're getting real experiential in a corporate way. I hope you have an ear to hear and you can be fair and listen to the end.
Amen.
Believe me, I know what I'm doing. Because I know the Lord who's doing this.
Amen.
About 15 months ago, a significant number of beloved saints in a certain part of the greater Phoenix area were directed or were led to meet with the church in Phoenix. I'm speaking before the Lord's face. We love you.
Amen.
The same as we love anyone else.
Amen.
We receive you as redeemed ones, regenerated ones, children of God. We would wash your feet, feed you with Christ.
Amen.
We treasure your love for the Lord,
Amen.
Your zeal in service, your intention to exercise the Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord will bear witness. But now comes the but. You cannot live the church life here or anywhere else if you maintain your group identity, your loyalty to one another, and especially your loyalty to a leader, in particular if that leader is a female. Okay, some of these dear saints started meeting here about 15 months ago. The church received them with discernment and love. But when I was here for a conference a year ago, most of them didn't come. Then I learned most of them are not here. As a group, they're not here. There may be some exceptions. The fact that as a group, they are not here, proves they are not one with the church. They're not one with the body of Christ. And they're not one with the Lord's recovery. Who decided that you would not come? Who decided that you would just see the videos later? You cannot live in the kingdom of the Son of God's love on your own terms.
Amen.
None of us can.
Amen.
We're not in charge here.
Amen.
No one whom you regard, properly or improperly, is the head here.
Amen.
So these precious saints, and I mean what I say when I say precious saints, under the divine light, they need to make a decision. I'm not forcing a decision.
Amen.
I'm not the Lord. I'm just a slave.
Amen.
That must speak on His behalf.
Amen.
You need to make a decision where you will be. If you want to live in loyalty to that entity and to that leader, and to preserve your identity and meet on your own, you're free to do that. But you cannot be in the church. Or you may decide to follow the truth, to walk in the light, and to pay the price. But we know how hard it may be for certain husband brothers to do this. Because we know how your wives may be directed to deprive you and defraud you in order to control you. So we're not saying there's no price. We all paid a price. And the longer we stay here and the farther we go, the higher the price is, and we gladly pay it. Amen. It's nothing compared to the joy of being in the kingdom of the Son of God's love.
Amen.
Love hopes all things.
Amen.
So in love we hope. We hope for you all. But the integrity, the health of the church must be preserved. The health of the body must be preserved in the light of any kind of illness. So this principle applies everywhere to any group that has an identity. The Lord may shepherd you all in. If you want to be here, you must sever your ties with your past. And you must sever your ties at the root with the leadership. Because you cannot mix that with this realm. Let me tell you how the Lord responds to this kind of mixture. Bringing two incompatible things together that happened in Pergamos. And the Lord said, unless you repent, I will war against you with the sword of my mouth.
Amen.
That is one of the most severe words I think he ever uttered, recorded in the scriptures. There's a sharp two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth, because he will divide this. This is my church. I do not agree with this mixture. So we are truly now in the realm of light. And the shining of light becomes the truth. And the truth is, that group in which you have been apart for so long has never been a church and is not a church. It is a sect. And it is a sect with certain tendencies way beyond a sect. The Lord would like to call you out of that darkness, out of the authority of that darkness, into His marvelous light, just as He called all of us out of the darkness we were in.
Amen.
The Lord knows I had no intention, even when I slept last night. But when I woke up at 4 o'clock, so burdened, I couldn't sleep for a long time. I didn't know what it was, not even then. But in the morning, when I could touch the Lord in a clearer way, I realized, as a group, these ones are not here. This is a group action. Someone decided this. There's a loyalty here. This is a foreign entity. It cannot exist in the church as a foreign entity. The Lord would like to shepherd one by one His redeemed ones. These are His children, His brothers. So the decision I now leave with you. I speak directly, I believe purely, honestly, frankly, yet in love. In love. But I'm reminded of the principle embodied in Elijah's word to the people of Israel. He said, how long will you go about limping between two different opinions? You have two opinions, God and Baal, God and Baal. If Baal is God, follow him. If the Lord is God, follow him. We're not saying anybody's worshiping Baal. We're saying there are moments of decision, life-changing moments. And now I can say, I am innocent of your blood. Your blood will not be on me. I gave you the word, the best I could, as faithful as I could. This is the situation. This is not opinion. This is not my opinion. This is the truth. This is the light. Light shows the real situation. The church in Phoenix is a local expression of the body of Christ. That other group is a sect. I can mention the name now because the brother has finished his course and he's with the Lord. After Brother Bill Freeman had moved with his followers to Scottsdale, he came to fellowship with Brother Lee. Brother Lee, of course, received him. And Brother Bill asked Brother Lee to give his assessment of what was there in Scottsdale, what he was doing. And we know this because Brother Lee publicly spoke of it. Then he said, Brother Lee said, at that time, I said nothing. And then he said, now I will give my answer. That is a division. I'm standing with that answer. That is the minister of the age. I trust his discernment. And the body echoes that statement. It's a division. It's not a church. It's a division every bit as much as a denomination is. This is the real nature of that situation. Whether you receive the light, whether you will open to the light, whether you will follow the light and walk in the light, I leave that between you and the Lord. But I can stand before the judgment seat of Christ next to you and say, Lord, at least in this matter, I am innocent of their blood. I spoke truth on your behalf. For the sake of the body, what happens in the church in Phoenix is a body matter. Amen. It affects the whole body. Amen. If a snake bites my finger, is it just a finger matter? In seconds, it's a body matter. So the whole body has feeling. And please realize you're taking on the whole body if you resist. Or you receive the supply of the whole body if you will make the turn. Amen. I think before the Lord now, I can let this matter rest. The Lord cover us all. Amen. I'm willing to be enlightened by Him. I'm willing to be adjusted by Him. But as I stand before Him in the presence of you all, I really feel good.
Amen.
I really feel peaceful.
Amen.
I just love the Lord so much. I love you all so much.
Amen.
I'm so glad to be with you in the kingdom of the Son of God's love.
Amen.
Now, we can make this turn. In the Spirit, we can make a turn. Don't linger in your emotion. Exercise your spirit. We're going to come to the paper now. We're going to come to the outline because there are precious things here. Practicing the church life in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. One, in the kingdom of the Son of God's love, we have the practice of the local church life. That's why we read the verses. They're not real inspiring. You know, the church in Laodicea, the church in so-and-so's house. Read the letter from Laodicea. That is the church life in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. This is where it's worked out practically. The kingdom of the Son of God's love is not a theory. It is a reality expressed practically in the local churches. And we know the local churches are filled with imperfect human beings who are works in progress. Amen. That is why we forgive one another. Amen. We live a forgiving life. Amen. That's part of our church life. We're not looking for an ideal place. We're not idealists. We have a vision based on the truth. But we know Corinth is a typical local church. That's what Brother Lee said. Typical. So we admit, as humans, as a work in progress, we're not exactly rapture ready this morning. But this is the Church of God in Phoenix. And as the Church of God in Phoenix, it is the kingdom of the Son of God's love in practical expression. A, the believers live in churches that are in their localities respectively. And any genuine local church will be in the fellowship of the whole body. Okay, B, the church has two aspects, the universal and the local. The universal aspect refers to the constitution, nature, and content of the church. The local aspect refers to the expression and practicality of the church. So we have both the nature and the content and the practicality. The church revealed in Matthew 16:18 is the universal church, the unique body of Christ. So this comes first. I will build my church. But B says the church revealed in Matthew 18:17 is the local church, the expression of the unique body of Christ in a certain locality. And one thing we will learn as we're living in the kingdom of the Son of God's love in a local church is we will learn to listen to the church. In Matthew 18, which is the context of this, a brother sins against another. He goes to him. The brother won't hear him. So the Lord says, take one or two with you. And your object is to gain your brother. Okay, not to indict him. To gain him. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. That's the goal. Not to judge him. But there's a problem. You want to gain him. But he doesn't listen to the two or three. So you tell it to the church. And if he will not listen to the church, you need to then regard him the same as an unbeliever. He's not excommunicated. Now, some saints have a false spirituality. They say, oh, I just listen to Jesus. I just listen to the Spirit. Well, there surely is a time, many times, to hear the Spirit. But this is not one of those times to listen to the church. Because, no matter what your opinion is, there are imperfect human beings who have the measure in the Lord to bear responsibility in the church. And I trust these brothers wherever I go. I respect them. And when they deny themselves and pray and fellowship, they will be in one accord. And when they speak in one accord, that is the voice of the King. And you need to hear the church. I know of one case somewhere where a brother's living was disorderly, according to Thessalonians. Okay? Not immoral, just disorderly. The brothers loved him. They were concerned for him. And so they asked him to come for fellowship. And they shared something, their feeling about his human living. I don't want to go into the details. But he would not hear. Rather, he accused the brothers of replacing the Lord. And now he loves the Lord. He's trying to go on. There's no way. There's no way. Because you're in a kingdom. No one is controlling you. That's against the law of the kingdom. Everyone is under the Lord's rule directly. But there is an administration, a government in the church. And there are times when we really need to listen to the church. Don't reason whether right or wrong or this brother is imperfect or whatever. Who's not? Okay? Amen. This is practical. Living in the kingdom of the Son of God's love is not only a matter of speaking, it's a matter of hearing. So this is, it can't get more practical than this. But how good if you would just hear your brother. A brother comes to you in a spirit of fellowship and said, I feel we need to clear up something that happened. And you also have a loving spirit of fellowship. You say, brother, honestly, I'm not aware of anything, but I want to receive your fellowship. And if I've offended you in any way, I'd like to clear it up. So then the brother shares it and you're enlightened and you say, brother, I'm so sorry. I didn't intend to do it, but I did it. And my attitude and my spirit were not right. I ask you to forgive me. Then you forgive. He who is forgiven much loves much. But, sorry, instead of practicing that, we gossip. We go anonymously online and do things. Or we text or we email. Then we are the first casualties. We lose joy first. Then we lose peace. Why? Because you're in the kingdom, living contrary to the kingdom. Some actually don't want the church to be the kingdom. They're selective. I want the church to be the Father's house. Everything's all right in the Father's house. There is joy, joy, joy. Okay, I want to be in the Father's house, but I don't want to be in the kingdom of the Son. Well, there's really only one church. And the Father's house is the kingdom of the Son. You can't be in the house without being in the kingdom. So please make up your mind. Do you want to be here? Or not. Okay? If you don't, you're not under control. You're not a robot. But some of us, by the Lord's mercy, we made a decision. We're staying here our whole life. Amen. Two, without the universal aspect, the church has no content. Without the local aspect, it is impossible for the church to have any expression and practice. So the seven feasts, that brings in universal content. So the churches are in that material. But the churches are also local. The brothers need to consider how to care for the particular needs of their local church. In this matter, not all the churches are identical. We're not here for uniformity, but for oneness. Three, Matthew 16 and 18 both indicate that the church represents the kingdom of the heavens, having the authority to bind and loose. And in fellowship recently, I just reminded the brothers, you may need to pray this way, binding and loosing. We don't just let things happen. This is the kingdom. We're not controlling. But when the heavens have bound, the earth should also bind. If the heavens have loosed, then the earth should also loose. Actually, we all need to learn to pray like this in citizens. What kind of prayer meetings will we have if we're one with Christ and His government? Binding what the heavens have bound, loosing what the heavens have loosed. Okay, two. In the kingdom of the Son of God's love, we have the reality and practicality of the organic body of Christ. We are one body in Christ, where we are members one of another. Okay? But we are members one of another in Christ. Consider the picture of the tabernacle with the standing boards, acacia wood, right? No wooden board is in direct contact with another wooden board. All the wooden boards are overlaid with gold, and their contact is in the gold, the divine nature. This describes our relationship. It's not direct. Any direct relationship, wood to wood, is sectarian at best. It's cancerous at worst. In 1978, Anaheim was going through a dual trauma, one among brothers, the other among sisters. The one among brothers was rebellion that eventually manifested itself. But the problem among the sisters was more serious. That they had a hierarchical arrangement among them that they called the building. There was a queen among them. In one conference meeting, they were sitting together in rank. This happened in 1977. And Brotherly stopped his message and spoke directly to that situation. Sometimes this will happen in a conference. We're not here for fun. We're here for God to do whatever He wants through His Word. And so they didn't sit that way in the meeting any longer. But they continued their special relationship, claiming to get revelation from the Lord. And they were writing a book. They told me directly, we're writing a book. And you know what the dedication was? We dedicate this book to those who are alive and remain. They thought, see, then you won't receive it. They won't see what we got. It's higher than Brotherly. It's higher than the brothers. But after we raptured as first fruits, we in love have left this book for them. Because they sadly remain to go through the tribulation. And representatives of this group, including the leading woman, and I use the word woman here because the Lord used it, that woman Jezebel. He didn't say sister Jezebel. He identified the nature of her. And Brotherly told them, this is a cancer. But they refused the diagnosis. So, if you got cancer in your body and it's threatening the life of the body, but in this case, precise surgery will excise it, what are you going to choose? You're going to love the cancer? Have pity on that part of your body? Or are you going to agree to the surgery? Well, of course, we'd agree to the surgery, assuming we're in the hands of an expert. And so the Lord cut them out. The Lord did. The body expelled them. No one made a proclamation. We are quarantining these sisters. We're limiting these sisters. They just left. And they left 37 years ago. And the body went on. We're not talking theory here. Brother Lee once told us he learned about spiritual illnesses not by studying, but by being a patient. So I've learned the same way. I've been so sick of so many things. Deep, profound illnesses. But I've met the physician. I know how he heals. I know the conditions under which he operates. So when I have the opportunity, I'd like to minister him as the physician to those who will admit they're sick. They admit they have need. So the physician is here with indescribable tenderness, but also precision. One, under A, in Christ implies the fact that we are organically one with Christ, that we have a life union with Him. So in Christ is the basis for our being the body. The body of Christ is altogether a matter of life that keeps us in an organic union with Him. In Christ, we have an organic union with the body of Christ. And we are organic parts of the body of Christ. So our responsibility, just as the Lord told us in John 15, is to abide in Him. And how do we abide in Him? We abide in Him by living in the mingled Spirit. Christ, who is the vine, is the Spirit. We, the branches of the vine, are believers with a regenerated spirit. The Spirit and our regenerated spirit have been mingled as one spirit. When we are in the mingled spirit, we are abiding in the vine, enjoying the fellowship of the whole vine. The principle is the same. Being in the vine equals being in the body and vice versa. And this is what makes us the body. At any time, I'm not in the mingled spirit. I'm not in the body in reality. And since I'm not in the mingled spirit, I'm either in the flesh or in my natural life. So during that period of time, I'm living as the same as an unbeliever. So we're all learning. We're in and we're out. And we're in and we're out and we're in and then we're out. So because we're a work in progress. Okay? I'm no superhero. I'm no giant. I'm learning just like you. To stay in the mingled spirit.
Amen.
Little B. The actuality of the body is in the organic union with Christ. If we remain in the organic union, we are in the body. But if we do not remain in this union, we are out of the body. So this is the unsparing truth. If we're in spirit, in the organic union, then we're in the body in reality. If we're out of the organic union by being out of the spirit, then there's no body in reality. There's just you as a soul in the world. And eventually the inner sense is going to trouble you to the point where you come back to the spirit. We always do. But eventually, the Lord's going to bring us to the point where we don't leave. At least we don't leave as often as we do now. And then in the New Jerusalem, we'll never leave the mingled spirit. So don't be disheartened. I mean, don't beat yourself up. The Lord is forbearing with us. He's patient with us. He knows our weakness. He's praying for us all the time. He's ministering to us. At the same time, He wants to train us to exercise the mingled spirit in a normal way. Little C, the divine life unites us together not only with Christ, but also with all the members of the body of Christ. So it's the divine life, not our natural life. So I contact my brother Ruben. And he's in the divine life, and I'm in the divine life, and we sense we're members one of another. But if we have contact, I'm in my natural life, he's in my natural life, well, who knows? We might be gentlemen. We might put on a mask. We might have an exchange. But we need to be in the divine life in all of our relationships. Without partiality, there are no natural relationships in the body. Don't you remember singing this line? Nothing natural does the body life allow. Do you know why we sing that? Because nothing natural does the body life allow. Well, that's not a song. The Lord has to enlighten us, to let us see you're in your natural life. I remember one day, I don't know, decades ago, I was just bothered by something. I wasn't angry, I was just bothered. So I asked my wife, you know what happens when I ask my wife questions. I said, Susan, why am I bothered? I don't understand, I'm bothered. You know, she's in the kitchen doing something, I'm doing something practical. And she says, it's your natural life. And the Lord had mercy on me. I didn't say, what about your natural life? I said, thank you, that explains it. Of course. Now I know what to do. So, you know, marriage is a relationship in love and in light, just like the kingdom of the Son of God's love. So to live in light is so helpful. So why am I bothered? You're in your natural life. And there's a gentle light, lamb light. And I can say thank you. That's what I wanted to know. I didn't want you to pat me on the back and say I'm a hero. She doesn't do stuff like that. Okay? And I'm glad she doesn't. And so this is against the law to seek out friendships, preferential relationships in the natural life. There's no such thing here. If you want it, if you got your grandma, you got your heroic leader, then live with your grandma and your heroic leader and your little sect. But the body will not recognize that as a church because it's a sect. And probably more than a sect. This may be a hard word. When would you rather receive a direct word? Now or at the judgment seat? It's a mercy for the light to come now. B, as we hold Christ as the head, the body grows with the growth of God. Now, God in himself does not grow. He's infinite. But none of us can say that we're filled with God. We have some amount of God, but we need God to grow in the sense of expanding within us. Okay? So that's how the body grows. God's economy is to head up all things in Christ through his body, the church, making Christ the center of all things. So all of us in the kingdom of the Son of God's love, living the body life, have to recognize what headship is. There are no female elders, okay? There just aren't any. So you just check your feminism at the door. We're not practicing patriarchy. We're not anti-woman. The Lord said what this woman did will be a memorial whenever the gospel is preached. We honor this. But the woman is not going to be the head of the man here. If you want to practice that, then just go somewhere else. That's not in the kingdom. And men are not allowed to be authoritarian with the woman here either. And to misuse their standing. No, that's against the law of the kingdom. So we're all restricted. And it's so sweet. Two, the body grows out from the head, for all the supply comes from the head. The growth of the body depends on the growth of God, the increase of God's element in the body. You know what I sincerely believe, personally, and I believe for many of you? I believe that when you leave this meeting hall, after we dismiss the meeting, you will have more God in you than when you came in Friday night.
Amen.
I believe God has been increasing in us, little by little. That's why I see some of you after a year, and I don't feel to say too much, but I often have the realization, wow, more Christ. Whatever you've been doing, just keep doing that. More God in you. Okay, Romans 3. In the kingdom of the Son of God's love, we have the reality and practicality of the universal one new man. So the kingdom of the Son of God's love is all of these. It's the body, it's the new man, and it is expressed in local churches. The church, the body of Christ, is the new man to accomplish God's eternal purpose, expressing God and representing Him. So this is the fulfillment of Genesis 1:26, right here, in the new man aspect. It's a corporate man that fulfills God's purpose. B, as the body of Christ, the church needs Christ as its life. As the one new man, the church needs Christ as its person. This is probably the Lord's highest spiritual requirement of us, to let Christ be the person living in us. That's Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. Now, how does Christ become our person experientially and practically? Okay. When we were regenerated, Christ as a person, the pneumatic Christ, came into our human spirit. At that point, our human spirit became our inner man. That's why Paul talks about being strengthened into the inner man. So now Christ as a person is in our spirit, making our spirit the inner man. So our real person is in our spirit. When we allow Christ to make His home in our heart, that is when we take Him as our person. Because our heart represents us. We love this, we don't love that. We desire this, we're determined to do that. So the practicality of our being is our heart. If someone says, oh, do they serve sweet potato fries? I love sweet potato fries. That's someone's heart. If someone says, will they serve Brussels sprouts? I love Brussels sprouts. That's that person's heart. I don't understand that kind of heart. But anyway, that's their kind of heart. Okay? But if we don't allow Christ to make His home in our heart, we actually imprison Him in our spirit. And I got saved in 1955. I didn't know I had a spirit until 1966. The Lord just stayed in prison for 11 years. And even since then, I didn't always, or even that frequently at first, let Him out. But if you let Him make His home in your heart. Now, I've illustrated this before. If you've heard it, I think it, for the sake of others who haven't it. When I'm in a guest in saints' homes, they're very gracious. And I'd like to make the sister host at ease by telling her, anything you prepare and serve, it's okay. No dietary restrictions, no allergies that I know of. And they're gracious, they say, brother, make yourself at home. It's so endearing. And if I'm in the home of a Spanish speaker, their casa is my casa. Right? And I think they really mean it. There's a warmth there. However, suppose The family does this. And they say, Brother Ron, we have a teenage daughter named Emily. She has given you her room for the days you will be here. Make yourself at home. Okay. So let's suppose just once I decide to do this literally. So I look around my room, which was Emily's room. And then I come out and I talk to the brother. Can we go to Ace Hardware? Why do you want to go to Ace Hardware? Because my room has pink walls. Real men don't have pink walls in their bedroom. So I would like the kind of a light green. And by the way, look at my bed in my room. How am I supposed to sleep on my bed? It's covered with stuffed animals. It's a zoo. Clear them out. Now, on the walls in my room, there are posters of certain celebrities. Tear them down, please. And, you know, put an impressionist painting. And then my iPod is now in my room. And I don't really know how to use it much, but I noticed there's 787 tunes, rock music. Okay, delete them all. Replace them with Mozart concertos, Beethoven symphonies, okay? Okay, if I did this, the family would immediately huddle for an emergency prayer meeting. Lord, give this brother the feeling that he needs to stay in a hotel. We'll put him in a 5-star hotel. Well, I know that it's an expression of warmth and hospitality. But if you say to the Lord, make yourself at home in my heart, he is going to proceed to make himself at home in your heart. Sisters, in all of your emotion, brothers, in your mind and in your will. But when we do that, he's the person living in us. So sooner or later, the Lord will strengthen our spirit and he will motivate us by love. Amen. And because of the motivating love, we'll say, Lord, I open my heart to you. I'm so sorry I imprisoned you. I don't want to be a prison anymore. I want to be a home. Make your home in my heart. Make any adjustment in my mind, emotion, and will, in my soul, in my conscience, whatever you want. Anything in my heart that you don't like, deal with. Anything that's incompatible with you, deal with. Anything you want to bring in, you're the person, you're the man, you live here. It's really, really sweet. The Lord's not going to barge in. He doesn't have a battering ram. He's not going to knock down the door, force himself in. He stands at the door, I'm applying the verse, and knocks. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we'll have a feast together. Okay. See, for the new man, we all need to take Christ as our person. When we live by taking Christ as our person, especially in making decisions, our living will be the living of the new man. Our person is particularly active when we make a decision. Like you've had a courtship. It's gone very well. The feeling is growing. The Lord is with you. The body's at peace. So I'm old-fashioned. I think men should be men. And at the right time, you take the initiative. And so you arrange something, and then you have a little box. And in the box is a metal circle with a mineral on the top. And then you say something to the sister, and then you ask her point blank, will you marry me? Okay, he's made the decision. Now, will you please make a decision? That making a decision is the exercise of your person. When you are one with Christ in making a decision, He's the person. So for those of you that are college age or of considering going to the training, I serve in the training, but I never recruit. I'll never put you, cause you to be ill at ease. Of course, we recommend that you consider the training, but you're in the kingdom. You're under the rule of the Lord. You let Him be the person. Make the decision with Him as the person. Where you go to school, what you study, whether or not you take that job, whether you should enter into a courtship with this person. Whatever it is, sooner or later, some among us need to actually do this. So we're actually taking Christ as the person. Brother Lee helps us to see, especially in making decisions. Younger ones, please take the advice of an older brother. Receive the grace never to make a basic decision in yourself. You have no idea what you'll reap if you do that. If you make a basic decision in yourself, please make all basic decisions in the organic union, in the mingled spirit, under the Lord's loving cherishing, with Him as the person. Even you may want to pray, Lord, not my will be done. Your will be done. I choose Your will, whatever it is.
Amen.
D, in the one new man, Christ is all. There is no room for any natural person. So God is unbiased. He excludes all of us. Okay? We're all terminated. So actually, we have an invisible sign over our meeting place. So all the believers who come, the sign says, we welcome you. There is no room for you here. We welcome you as a child of God, as a believer. But there's no place for you here. There's only a place for Christ. So you come in here. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be reconstituted. You're going to be terminated. You're going to be crucified and resurrected. And basically, you're going to love the whole thing.
Amen.
Because you're going to enjoy Christ more than you ever dreamed. In the one new man, there is only one person, the all-inclusive Christ. In the one new man, Christ is all the members and in all the members. So He is us. It seems that we're not here, but He's in us, so we're still here. How to explain this? I don't know. Maybe you know. But Christ is all and Christ is in all. We need to practice the church life in the consciousness of the universal one new man. Because we're living in this kingdom, and although we're in a particular locality, our consciousness is not limited to our locality. We have a universal consciousness of the whole body, the whole kingdom, the whole new man. So whatever we do locally, we consider the body and the new man universally. And I had this consideration, as I always do when I travel to minister. Lord, whatever I say and do during this conference, may it be a benefit to the whole body.
Amen.
I would not do anything locally that would be injurious to your body universally. Because these messages will eventually go online, and so be it. But those who want the word, this particular word, they have access to it. Well, I conclude my part. It's been quite a special conference, don't you feel?
Amen.
Well, we've got considerable time now. I believe we should just be free to respond to any point covered in any message, not only this morning. Any matter that impressed you, that supplied you, that enlightened you, that exposed you, that encouraged you, please limit your speaking to about a minute. And I'm so thankful that more Spanish speakers with translation are speaking. Whatever your language is, as long as there's a translator, if it's Russian, if it's Finnish, if whatever it is, don't be held back. We want to receive your portion. Okay? So please follow the indwelling Spirit and stand up. The microphone will reach you and share something for about a minute.